with respect to the infringement that she asserted later on, that she includes executive sentences for statements that she said would be a violation of
the Constitution. Well, that seems to be consistent. If you take that, if you take the assumptions from counsel's sentencing argument, then you assume that there would be a mitigated term. So, California Code 654 collects everything down to 8 years. And it's not that statement. You get a kind of exposure of something like 64 years, not 60 years. Whatever assumption you made, counsel's calculation is wrong. And I've looked at this case throughout the course of the litigation. I've had other people who do session cases and do the sentences. I mean, it's kind of looked at every possible assumption. There were 70 missing votes. So I don't know how she made that calculation.
Is there any way to believe that the California sentence laws are very complicated and it's struggling for many years in my prior life? But I understand because the argument in the Indian process is that people without understanding is not the well-sustained case in the
justice system. The well-sustained case is just like a child case. The case that is kind of understand statute, but there's a lot of work coming up with any mechanisms to figure out if it's onboarding coming up with an actual or with an accurate calculation. And one of the essentials of that series is to understand the statute. One of the issues that permeated the case was the issue of 654. And 654, as you know, says that if there's several crimes that are committed as part of one of those errors in the occurrence, then you can be punished for only one. They're treated as a single incident. And that's an issue that simply that permeated this. I mean, even through the closing arguments and even through sentence. And counsel seems to have assumed for a moment that 654 operates to address everything that was homegrown as far as that's down to 8 incidents. And that's clearly not true. In fact, the sentence judge was very explicit that he saw the case as what the judge was saying after the verdict. After 16 years of this instance of the case, as was indeed 16 separate incidents, not 8.
Well, then, I just wanted to clarify the focus here. When you're deemed to think post-location at the time the plea deal was made. So we are looking at what the defendant's history knew at that time, what opportunity they were facing, what sentence was they were facing. And in this case, the only evidence of record shows when the offer was made was in the preliminary hearing. In fact, the prosecutor's email makes it quite clear that he remembers this court is telling people that he sued the student offer and he made only one third of the entire preliminary hearing. So, this is what they were talking about. So, the preliminary hearing took place March 23rd, 2009. At that time, the operative pleadings, the first medic complaint, which had been filed on September 5th, 2008, which was a 23 count, and by petitioner's calculation, that meant he was facing a maximum of 55 years of home imprisonment at that time. I just wanted to kind of talk about that person. According to the petitioner's calculations, and we agreed that was a maximum of 55 years of home imprisonment, I went through all these offer pleadings and tried to search them all out. I felt it was really crazy. That being said, at the point about student counsel communicating with the entire maximum amount of students in her motion for continuance, it's not surprising also the context of which she thought that student counsel needs to be considered, and that was she had seen some different costs that had happened before, and she was having it verified. And as you can see, it's very often interpreting these things that she saw for her candidate was not meant as something great or a final word on what the student was facing. But I believe that that is an issue deep in her senior movement. She didn't understand her client was facing far more than she had sentences in 64 years. Ms. Thompson, his client's search does not make a lot of sense to figure out where this 64 years of existence from one found to be possible. But I agree that it makes a lot of sense to combine with the presumption that we are supposed to engage in here that counsel didn't reasonably have to say during the evidence that she quite understood what the potential client was facing. I don't think that that totally believes the district's information that she gave in this court. The next one is standing. There was an opt-out. I totally can't remember the record, but I believe that Mr. Culver said there was an offer of 15 years to which I believe the prosecutors came out and indicated that it might have been an offer of 15 years. So, the defendant felt the facing disparity between the offer and than what it's faced to be 15. The government has been 15 years, and you would think being in a 20 to 40 year range, and he also took that offer, but he also trusted that he would be taken, that he was innocent. And the Supreme Court found that the state court did not admissibly find the question in the finding, because he did not satisfy his burden of showing prejudice. I would maintain that the case was not here, and I would urge this court to just reverse the judge.
If there is a question, is there anything to tell me? Please, I can sit here. And for your question, if no evidence and no reasoning from the state courts to see how these cases are over here,
when the Supreme Court considers the institutions they often suffer in terms of recovery seniors, that's
Energy Services versus Invenco Oil Company.